God's word is flawless. Its inerrancy is what the theological term is about. There are no errors in it. Why should we believe that our Bible is true? And we start in Isaiah 40 and verse 8. So if you want to turn there with me, Isaiah 40 and verse 8 tells us what the God of the universe says about this book that's unlike any other book that we're holding. It says in verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Nothing around you see, do we ever think of lasting forever. I mean, my whiteboards are already wearing out. I've been using them since March, doing all these virtual classes. Everything that we know runs down, wears out, needs to be repaired. But there's one thing that God has given us. He said it's never going away. The eternal, settled in heaven word of God. And that word of God, he tells us, is inerrant. And I want to go through that with you as we do this study. Look back at your slides. This study on inerrancy is actually the ninth hour of 15 hours going through the book of Isaiah. As we explore this book, we're exploring the key doctrines that are covered in this book. And the ninth hour is the doctrine of inspiration. Then we're going into theology, prophecy, salvation, the compassion of God that we are to reflect in our lives, the doctrine of future things, paradise, and then we're going to end with sanctification. So I hope that wherever you are, and if you look up from that slide, if you're just joining us, I hope that you'll go back. If you're not actually in the East Asia classroom where this class is being beamed right now and the enrolled students are taking it and taking quizzes and tests and turning in their work, if you're just kind of joining us through YouTube, I hope you'll go back and start with class zero, which explains how to study through all of the details of this book, and then class one that lays the foundation. But looking back at the slides, Satan's plan has always been to get us to doubt God's word. Now, turn with me to the book of Genesis, because to understand why this is such an issue, Genesis chapter 3, so the very first book of the Bible, chapter 3, and we're right after creation. We're in the events surrounding the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. But chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now, that's interesting. That's the first question recorded in the Bible. Think about that with me. The devil began his campaign to destroy God's creation and to defile God's creatures, man and woman, with a simple question: "Indeed, has God said?" Now, if you look at the Hebrew order of the words, you could literally translate his words as, "So, God has said, has he?" There's this definite undermining of what God had said, the creating of doubt. Here we have the first question in the Bible, which introduces the first dilemma in human history. Up to this point, Adam and Eve had walked in perfect fellowship with God. I mean, they knew God. They walked around with their Creator. They were in this beautiful place, and they were just loving it. Then there was that first question, and it was about the integrity, the honesty of God. This query was designed to start Eve down the path of doubting the trustworthiness of what God had said. Did you know there's nothing Satan wants more than for you to doubt the trustworthiness of what God has said? This is the voice of God. These are the words of God. This is the communication from the Creator of the universe to us as creatures. And Satan doesn't want us to listen to God. For the first time, that deadly spiritual force was covertly smuggled into the world. Eve fell for the great satanic lie, and we fall for it too. If we ever question God's word, we, like Eve, are falling for Satan's lie. look at your slide. Satan's plan always is to get us to doubt God's word, and he's very good at it. So the question comes for us, why should we trust the Bible? What should be the basis that we put our trust in God's word? Well, that comes to the seven reasons why I believe the Bible. And if you look up, I've written them for you over here, and I'll keep alluding to them. And the greatest reason why I believe the Bible, and I'm going to show you that today, is because Jesus did. In fact, I can comfortably say that the Old Testament part of this Bible I'm holding is exactly like what Jesus Christ used in his life and ministry and affirmed, because Jesus used a translation of the Hebrew manuscripts called the Septuagint that translated the Old Testament into a Greek language Bible that Jesus used, preached from, quoted, and so did his apostles. And it's exactly the one we're holding today. In fact, when the Hebrew manuscripts hidden in the Dead Sea caves, called the Dead Sea Scrolls, were found about 70 years ago, they exactly matched the Old Testament manuscripts that we have in our possession today. And so the reason I trust the Bible is because Jesus trusted the Bible, and his apostles and prophets trusted the Bible. And as we'll see, there's a supernatural unity to the Bible I'll talk about, because if you think about it, and I'll just draw that up here, the Bible has over 40 different writers that wrote over 1,600 years, and they lived on three continents, and almost none of them knew each other, and so they were singularly writing. They didn't have the rest of the Bible they were going to fit to. It'd be almost like designing a house prefab in 40 different locations over 1,600 years on three continents, and have them all, the pieces, after 1,600 years, brought together, and to see them completely unite perfectly without anybody ever having read the other or seen or tested the other pieces. See, that's one of the most unique parts of the Bible, the incredible unity. Prophecy. The Bible contains specific prophecies of people and places and events, and Isaiah is filled with them. The Bible is unique, and every prophecy has come to pass so far, literally as it's written. The Bible talks much about science. In fact, if just the parts of Isaiah and the book of Job, if just those two books, two of the 66 books, the scientific accuracy is unparalleled when you look at the details that are in the book of Job, and we'll cover some of those now. The next reason is the archaeological verification, and finally the endurance of the Bible through the ages. So back in your slides, those are the seven reasons why I believe that the Bible is true.